This is Carl Valeri with the Stuck Mike Avcast reporting for Sun and Fun Radio. I'm here with Howard Smith over at the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association, and actually in the memorabilia tent, and they have quite a few items in here. And, you know, as people are actually getting further away and away from Vietnam, they're starting to not remember quite what happened during that period. And we have a lot of actually living historians here. There's quite a few folks, so I'd invite you to come over here. And Howard, how long have you been with this organization?
We actually formed up the Florida chapter back in 1993 over in Tampa is where we were based. The national organization, which is a worldwide organization, published an annual directory. And in the directory, that year's directory included a geographic location of all the pilots. So Judd Chapin and a couple of others from Tampa sat down, made up a list of people that were within like a 100-mile radius, sent letters out. We got a good response, so we actually sat down and formed a Florida chapter of the VHPA National Organization. We've been together 18 years now, basically.
Wow, and you actually flew helicopters in Vietnam?
In order to belong to this organization, you had to be a helicopter pilot, regardless of branch of service. We even have some Vietnamese members that flew with the VNAF.
Really?
One lives right over here in Plant City, as a matter of fact. And that's the only criteria, is you had to be a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and you're eligible to join the organization.
So tell me, what did you get to fly over in Vietnam?
I was a Huey pilot. I flew Slicks, troop ships, for the first 6 months I was in the unit. And then I moved to the gun platoon. We had Charlie model Hueys, not the sleek Cobra that everybody thinks of. And I spent another 9 months in the unit flying gunships.
Wow, is that something you've always wanted to do?
No, not really. My dad's brother was an Air Force pilot. When I enlisted in 68 out of high school, went to Jacksonville, took the battery test that everybody's administered, scored real well. They tried to talk me into going into the Army Security Agency. Didn't interest me. They asked what else, and I said maybe MPs. Everybody in my family had been in law enforcement. I was only 18, so I wasn't old enough. You had to be 19 to be an MP. What else? Well, my dad's brother's a pilot. It'd be cool to fly. So they held me over, administered the test, passed the test, came back 2 weeks later, passed the oral interview. The following week, they sent me to Fort Polk, Louisiana for basic training. From there, we went to Fort Walters, Texas. Spent 5 months at Walters in flight school. If you made it through Walters, you then went to either Fort Rucker or Hunter Stewart at Savannah, Georgia, for an additional 4 months of training. And then when you completed 9 months of flight school, you were awarded first your warrant officer bar and then your wings as an Army aviator.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah, compared to, I've heard like Air Force and Navy flight school is like 2 years long. I'm not sure why, but the Army did it in 9 months, you know.
Wow, maybe they knew something. And that the year that you were there, you obviously got to go do some interesting flying overseas. Where did you wind up?
I was with the 68th Assault Helicopter Company, which was based at Benoit, Vietnam, which is northeast of Saigon, down in what's known as Three Corps. And a typical assault helicopter company would have about 25 to 30 helicopters. We did troop assaults 2 days in a row. Then on the third day, we did what we called ash and trash, which meant basically resupply missions. They would split the company up, and you would go single ship to different units. They owned you for the day, and you just did whatever they needed you to do, hauling stuff to the field, to the troops, ammo, food, water, picking up troops, maybe taking them, you know, back to a base camp. Whatever they needed is what we did. The gun platoon had a couple of normal missions, one of which went down to the docks at Saigon and escorted ammo barges up the river to Long Bend. We kept a gun team on a 5-minute standby that could answer any kind of a call for help anywhere within 50 or 60 mile radius of Benoit.
You know, I'm nervous when I get in helicopters. I start taking some training, and I guess the part that it would really get me nervous is someone firing bullets at me. Did you ever get shot at?
Yeah. That was just part of the game. Not really a big deal. Most of the time, I've seen Hueys come back with 50, 60 holes in them, still flying. I've seen them shot down with one bullet. You know, it just depends on what it happened to hit.
Wow, that would have been scary. I mean, what goes through your mind every time you go out?
Basically, especially when I got to the gun platoon, our job was to find the enemy and kill them. So that's what we did. We did whatever we could do to make them shoot at us so that we could locate them and then try to eliminate. That's what we got paid for, you know.
Wow, that's something that a lot of us could never fathom doing, I tell you. And you know, of course, us that haven't served in any of the militaries, we do appreciate your service for doing such a thing to keep our freedoms and also to keep us safe here. That's incredible. Now, what'd you do after the military?
Came back to Lakeland at the end of 1970, and I lacked 5 months of turning 21 when I got out of the Army after spending almost a year and a half in Vietnam. I had just under 1,500 hours of combat time. Hired on the Lakeland Police Department, was a cop here in Lakeland for 4 years. Missed flying. So in 1975, I put my paperwork in with the Army to go back on active duty. They took me back. I went to Fort Hood, Texas. I was out there for about 2 years. Problem being, it was peacetime and money was extremely short, so they weren't letting us fly, and that was the only thing I was interested in doing. So after 2 years, I resigned, came back to Lakeland, and spent 25 years working for the City of Lakeland Electric Department.
Wow, so you're actually from Lakeland. It's amazing. Here's somebody at Sun and Fun from Lakeland. And I tell you, I've actually seen you here before at this booth, and VHPA, the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association, has been here at Sun and Fun for how many years?
This is our 18th year.
18 years.
Display. We bring a 086 helicopter on a trailer, which actually served in Vietnam. We have a GP medium tent, which is a 16 by 32 Army tent. It's filled with Vietnam memorabilia. We've got about 30 boxes of 2 foot by 2 foot filled with all types of items that people brought back from Vietnam. When we formed up the chapter, most of them were squirreled away in people's attics or in their garage in a cardboard box. We said, get your stuff out. We're going to set up a display that we can take around to aviation events so that people can see what we did when we were in Vietnam.
Wow, that's great. It really is neat to look around here, and I was really interested in your charts out here of all of Vietnam. You can actually, for those people that are, you know, geographically challenged like I am, it's great to see the charts that are out here. Of course, you know, I was actually privileged to be able to do my first flight training with a gentleman who was in, they call it the Tonkin Gulf Yacht Club, and he used to fly off a ship out there, and he was one of my first flight instructors. Great instructor, and boy, the stories he'd bring back were incredible. The reason I like to come here is every time I come to this tent or look at the helicopter in general, I learn something new. And there's so many people that really know nothing about the Vietnam War. For me, the reason that I come here is to learn more about it. I mean, what is the purpose of the Vietnam Helicopters Pilots Association, and why are they here today?
Well, the primary purpose of the organization was for us to reconnect with our brother pilots that served in Vietnam. That's the main thrust of the organization. Over the years, they have determined through searches of Army records that there were approximately 40,000 people that attended Army Helicopter Flight School during the time of the war. They have addresses or email or phone numbers for thousands of people now. They publish a directory each year that looks like a phone book. I mean, the thing is upwards of 500 pages. They have a reunion every year in the summer, which is well attended. Normally there'll be somewhere between 800 and 1,200 pilots plus family members. And then the secondary objective of the organization is to keep the memory of what we did in Vietnam alive. This is an educational exhibit. It has items that actually came from Vietnam. This isn't something we went down to the Army Navy store and bought off the shelf. You know, these things were with our members in Vietnam. They were brought home in their baggage or whatever. I have things dating all the way back to like 1961. I have a box of Montagnard items over here, a shield, a pipe, a knife they used to cut rice, things of that nature. All types of military items, survival radios, sea rations that we ate the whole time we were in Vietnam that were left over from World War II and Korea.
Wow.
And that's what we got fed in Vietnam.
Were they good?
Yeah, they were. If you could heat them, they were not bad at all. cold, not so much, but heated, entirely edible.
So in this tent here, you have a bunch of items. What's like the most interesting item you think, or one that most people would be really interested to see, or something unique maybe?
Well, most people ooh and ah right when they come in the door. We have two tables that are filled with some weapons from Vietnam. These are all replicas. None of them are operational weapons, but I have an M60 machine gun. I have a minigun. I have a couple of rockets that we used on our gunships. An AK-47, an M16, a LAW, which was a light anti-tank weapon. It's basically a small diameter rocket that we used against tanks or bunkers. Everybody likes guns. The kids especially come in. I mean, they run right straight to that table, and that's what they've got to see.
So if you have kids, this would be the place to come and check out these big guns there. They also have a, looks like a Gatling gun. That was actually used on a helicopter?
Yeah, that's the minigun. It's basically an electrically driven Gatling gun. It has six barrels. It shoots 7.62 ammunition, which is the same thing that shot out of the M14 rifle or the M60 machine gun. Driven by an electric motor, fed by belted ammunition coming out of trays in the back of the ship. And they would fire 6,000 rounds a minute.
Wouldn't want to be in the front of that thing.
No, it would not be a good place to be on the receiving end of a minigun.
I noticed that this gun here, the Gatling gun especially, is, or the minigun, it's really in great shape. I mean, did someone restore this? Or?
Well, again, it's a replica. It's not an operational gun. We bought it from a gentleman in Pennsylvania that builds them to sell to people that have displays such as this. And it's pretty authentic looking. I mean, he took his time putting them together, and it has all the same attributes that a real gun would have. It's just not functional.
Well, let me ask you one other question too, as far as moving forward with this organization. It'd be great to hear their stories. You folks, well, we all aren't going to be around forever. So any plans to keep this organization moving forward as far as their story and all these different artifacts that you have here?
Yeah, for the last probably 10 years, we've been paired up with the Hillsborough County Parks Department. And south of the state fairground on 301, on the west side of the highway, north bank of the bypass canal, there's a small Hillsborough County park dedicated to veterans. It's called Veterans Memorial Park. They did a restoration and expansion of the park last year. And Veterans Day, last November, we actually dedicated the Vietnam section of the park. We have three helicopters over there up on pedestals. There's a brick courtyard, granite monument listing all the Hillsborough County KIAs, a couple of other smaller monuments. And the plan is eventually to have a new museum building. And ultimately, we think that the vast majority of this exhibit will end up in that museum in Tampa.
Well, that'd be terrific. I mean, there's my generation, of course, I was born during Vietnam. And a lot of the stories from Vietnam were not told by, especially my father. Most folks don't talk about it. I think that happened in World War II also. It seems not till later that people will start relating their stories, which I'm starting to hear about this. And that's something that's really important. I hope we'll keep that moving forward. And, you know, organizations like yourself are doing that. And that's really important. Have you seen a growth in the folks that are coming out and helping you with this?
It's been pretty steady over the last several years. The Florida chapter has in excess of 400 dues-paying members. But like most organizations, unfortunately, there's a small percentage that do the majority of the work. We have about 100 at our reunion that we do each year, which is, you know, a quarter. And I think that's pretty typical.
So people that are here at Sun and Fun, they can find you at what's the location?
This is the area known as the Southeast Exhibits. We're to the northeast of the main entrance ticket booth. We're on the east side of the pedestrian walkway. Can't miss us because we have a helicopter out front, and we're probably the only Green Army tent on the whole grounds.
That does stick out, and also the POW, MIA, and the American flag. And that helicopter out there again is a?
That's an OH-6. We called it a Loach. It was an observation helicopter. Basically, in Vietnam, it was used as bait. They used to go out and hover around in the treetops, beg Charlie to shoot at them so that the gunship covering them could then kill them.
Wow, that's kind of scary. I don't want to be part of the bait.
Not a lot of guys actually volunteered to fly loaches. I mean, that's what we were there for. Wow. But it was definitely a dangerous job. They suffered one of the highest casualty rates of any of the pilots.
I could imagine, especially being bait. Is there anything else you can tell our viewers, listeners, I should say, out there that and folks at the show here about this exhibit? Anything further?
Well, you need to come by and see us. We've got stuff here that you're not going to see anywhere else. You can't go down to the corner store and see it or buy it. So you need to come by and take a look. We'd love to see you come through the tent and talk with us.
Well, I can attest every time I've been here, I've learned something new. Just hang out, talk to somebody, start picking their brain. You'll learn something new about our history, about aviation, about Vietnam, about geography. And I really appreciate you taking time and also appreciate your service. Thanks so much. And again, it's Carl Valeri with Sun and Fun Radio reporting right here at the Vietnam Helicopter Pilots Association.